Hi, fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow book binger, and you are listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every single week to find your next favorite author. You'll want to listen to today's episode if you like stories about friendship, sacrifices, and hard lessons. It reads like an older fairy tale full of moral instruction, but with some modern humor and snark. It's written by Jill Williamson, who grew up in Alaska, staying up and reading by the summer daylight that wouldn't go away. Her debut novel, By Darkness Hid, won several awards and was named a best science fiction, fantasy, and horror novel of 2009 by the Voice of Youth Advocates magazine. She has since written over 30 books and is most recently a producer of films, working closely with her writer-director husband and other creatives in the Pacific Northwest. Be sure to stick around to the end or check out today's show notes to see where you can find more from Jill. For now, please enjoy The Golden Curse by Jill Williamson. It must be a mistake. Empress Evelyn stood beside her bed, staring at the flecks of gold on her pillow. She pressed her palm against her chest, as if the action might quell the sudden race of her heart.
"Fetch Chancellor Rua, now!"
The maid shoved the breakfast tray onto the table and fled the room, pushing past the guard, Voana, who filled the doorway. As a woman, everything about Voana was a little too much. She stood a little too tall, her eyes, nose, and head were a little too big, chest a little too flat, teeth a little too crooked. Yet, as a guard, she was formidable. Voana approached.
"Something wrong, ma'am?"
Evelyn gestured to her disheveled bedsheets.
"What do you see?"
The guard inched closer, brow furrowed as she examined the bed.
"Looks like dirt, ma'am. Maybe scraps of leather?"
Evelyn released a pent-up breath.
"That must be it. I informed my tailor just yesterday that my leather belt was falling apart."
Light bloomed through the windows as the clouds moved past the morning suns, and the flecks on the white linen sheets sparkled. Dread pooled in Evelyn's stomach. Surely it couldn't be gold. The door burst open, and Chancellor Rua rushed inside, her emerald robes billowing. The maid slipped in behind her.
"Remain calm, Your Eminence."
Rua lifted a monocle to one eye and studied the bed for an agonizingly long time, her brow pinched. She spun around and seized a spoon off the breakfast tray. This she jabbed at one of the gold flakes.
"It has every appearance of gold, ma'am. I'll have it examined, to be certain."
Rua claimed the empty cup and saucer from the tray. She scooped flakes onto the saucer and covered them with the cup.
"Try to eat something. I'll send for the physician."
Rua bowed and rushed from the room, leaving Evelyn alone with the maid and guard. If doctors were coming, there was no point in getting dressed.
"Well, fetch me a fresh cup," Evelyn snapped. "I intend to have my breakfast."
The maid curtsied and fled. The morning passed by in tedious agony from the presence of far too many ignorant servants. Chancellor Rua assembled a conglomeration of medical experts, physicians, healers, medicine men, alchemists, apothecaries, surgeons, dentators, herbalists, and midwives. All agreed that the skin on the back of Evelyn's shoulders was flaking, yet no one would confirm that the golden curse had come to their empress. They were cowards, all of them. Had Evelyn not been terrified, she might have thrown them all in prison. In the end, Evelyn had no choice but to summon Grand Master Finot,
who had once served her father as chancellor. He took one look at Eveline's shoulders and said,
"It's the golden curse, ma'am."
At this, the assembly muttered, low enough that Eveline could discern no clear words, yet loud enough to push her irritation too far.
"Out!" she screamed. "All but the Chancellor, Grand Master Finot, and my guard!"
Everyone scattered, and in moments, Eveline again had a modicum of peace.
"It's a myth," Rua said. "Over 250 years have passed since Empress Aosta ruled."
"The Golden Curse is no myth,"
the Grand Master said. A flash of cold ran up Eveline's spine.
"I cannot simply wait around until I am solid gold and the Kupio come to melt me down."
"That would never happen," Rua said.
"Yet that's what legend says happened to Empress Aosta."
Eveline's heart had never beat so quickly. On top of that, her hands were shaking, and she felt as if she might burst into tears at any moment. What had she done to deserve such a fate? She was too young to die. Plus, she had no heir. What would become of her dynasty? Would Kupion invade? Only when she had mastered her emotions did she speak.
"What can be done?"
"The answers you seek are in the royal vault,"
Finot said. Eveline reached for her robe.
"Show me."
They climbed a spiral stone staircase to a cramped tower. Finot bade the guard retrieve a tiny silver box from a high shelf. Rua used her sleeve to wipe off a thick layer of dust. The box had been cast from silver with intricate whorls and flowers. It was so tarnished, it looked black. On the top, thick with grime, was the inverted shape of the royal signet ring. Eveline set her ring in the indentation and pressed down. The box clicked open, revealing 5 small pearls and a scroll that said, "Those inflicted with the golden curse must travel to the wishing pool in Romont and bathe in its waters. Take the pearls with you. They can help." Eveline had so many questions.
"What does this mean?"
"You must go to Romont and take the pearls with you," Finot said. "The message is clear, ma'am."
Clear as gold.
"How did you know this was here?"
"The pearls were taken from the pool when Empress Aosta died," Finot said. "It is written in the annals."
Rage curdled in Eveline's chest.
"If Empress Aosta died in the wishing pool, why should I bathe in it? Clearly it did her no good."
"I know not, Your Eminence,"
the Grand Master said. Eveline turned to Rua.
"I don't suppose you have a better idea."
The Chancellor shook her head.
"I'm sorry, ma'am."
Eveline carried the box back to her chambers. She read the scroll and examined the pearls repeatedly. How in all the lands could 5 tiny pearls help? She held them and wished for healing. When nothing changed, she considered having one ground into powder for a tonic. But destroying one felt too risky. She summoned her advisors and commanded them to find an explanation that made sense. They found none. In the end, she had no choice. She must go to Romont. The journey would take the better part of 3 days. Eveline ordered Chancellor Rua to prepare a grand procession. Should this be the last her people saw of her? She wanted them to recall her magnificence, wealth, and power. Yet the Chancellor brought forth dire news.
"Kupio raiders are outside your gates, ma'am. They want to speak with you. Peacefully, they say."
A surge of terror coursed through Eveline.
We both know they're not here for peace.
Her mind raced until she settled on an idea. Let them wait, she said, feeling quite clever.
I will go in disguise with only 5 guards.
There would be no parade, but throwing off the cupio was far more important. Eveline admired herself in the mirror. The peasant disguise made the coming journey feel like a jolly game, which pleasantly overshadowed the dread of the golden curse. The door opened and the guard, Vawana, entered. She bowed deeply.
I mean no disrespect, ma'am, but I beg you take someone else to Ramont as your 5th. My brother is ill. I am his keeper, and I dare not leave him unattended.
Fire burned through Eveline.
I've been sentenced to death, and you wish to desert me?
No, ma'am, said the guard, her eyes rimmed in red.
It's just that my brother is dear to me, and your empress is not so dear.
That is not what I meant, ma'am.
Cupio raiders are camped on my doorstep, seeking my demise, Eveline snapped. I must reach the wishing pools of Ramont as soon as possible, and will not take a quivering maid as my chaperone. Refuse to serve me, and you will be executed for treason. The choice is yours.
The guard swallowed, jaw clenched. Finally, she nodded.
I will accompany you to Ramont, ma'am.
A wise choice, Eveline said. Within the hour, the small party had sneaked out the garden gate. They now rode 2 abreast through the capital city. When the lead guard steered his horse toward the river road, Eveline drew her mount to a halt.
Market Street is the fastest way out of the city, she said. Plus, it's so crowded, no one will notice us.
It's not safe, Vawana said. With the ever-increasing taxes and reduced guard, Market Street has become a hovel of smugglers and thieves.
We'll take the river road, the lead guard said.
You dare accuse me of not knowing my own city?
Not one guard would meet her reproachful glare, so she nudged her horse between theirs and led the way herself.
We will take Market Street, and that is final.
As predicted, Market Street was busy this time of day. Vendors sold wool, lace, tea, wine, and other spirits. All highly taxed export goods, Eveline couldn't help notice. These people were stealing from the crown. She wanted to confront them, but now was not the time. She entered a spot of congestion. A sea of people grew thick around her horse.
Move aside, she yelled.
She squeezed her knees and clicked her tongue.
Come on, go!
The horse whinnied and tossed its head. A hand clutched her leg. She glanced down and saw a hooded person unlatch her saddlebag. Another took hold of her reins.
Stop, she yelled. Thieves!
Someone pulled her off the horse and into the crowd, 2 men dragging her toward a market stall. Before Eveline could think of how to escape, Vawana intercepted them. Her guard tripped the 1st man from behind and kicked the 2nd in the chest. When both men fell, the guard dragged Eveline away through the crowd.
We must go back for my saddlebag and horse,
Eveline said. Yet the guard did not stop until they reached a tenement at the end of a narrow alley.
We will wait here for the others, she said.
But the others did not come. As the time passed, the back of Eveline's neck grew stiff, making it hard to turn her head. She stepped in front of the guard and lifted her hair.
What do you see?
A drawn-out silence, then.
Your neck is gold, ma'am,
Vawana said. Eveline sucked in a breath. There was no time to waste.
We must leave now, she said.
We don't have any supplies or transportation, Vawana said, and I have little money.
I cannot return to the castle, Not with the Kupio waiting. Eveline tapped a silk pouch tied to a cord around her neck. I have the pearls. They're all I really need. A friend of mine owns a stable on the outskirts of town, Voanna said. We can rent horses there. The guard led the way to the stables. They found her friend Tigder shoeing a horse in the yard.
Bo, the man said. Last time I saw you, you were knee-high to a cricket. How's your brother?
Voanna's eyes misted.
Not well, I'm afraid. He has Lenania. The doctor says he could pass any day.
Oh, Tigder said. How dreadful. I'm terribly sorry. If there's anything I can do, please...
You can give us two horses, Eveline said.
I beg your pardon, Tigder said.
We're in a hurry to reach Ramont, Voanna said. How much to rent two horses?
You? I'll charge 5 skilts.
Tigder scowled at Eveline.
Her, 20.
That's robbery, Eveline said.
Tigder slammed his thumb against his chest.
I decide who I do business with and for what price.
Voanna counted the money in her purse.
We can both ride mine, she told Eveline.
You rent 2 horses or none, Tigder said. 25 is the price. Take it or don't.
Voanna pulled the Empress aside.
Offer him a pearl. The audacity. I cannot give these away. Then tell him who you are. I'm sure he'll lend aid. Absolutely not. There are villains everywhere, pulling people from horses, stealing, smuggling. You're the only one I trust with my identity.
Voanna went back to Tigder.
Looks like we'll be walking. Wait.
Eveline withdrew one of the pearls from the pouch and offered it to Tigder. She clenched her jaw, but forced out the words.
Will you take this for both horses?
The man pinched the pearl between his thumb and forefinger and held it up to the sky.
Done, he said. I'll have my stableman ready the horses.
As they were waiting, a man returned 3 horses that had been stolen. Tigder exclaimed with delight over the return of the animals. When he tried to offer a reward, the man refused. How odd. Who would refuse a reward? Then, as Voanna was helping Eveline into the saddle, a carriage arrived with a woman and 2 small children. Tigder knelt in the dirt and embraced them.
What's that about? Eveline asked.
His wife left him last year. Voanna mounted her horse. It seems she has returned. Now on horseback, they made good progress. Eveline still smarted at having given up one of her pearls.
What if 4 pearls aren't enough to save me when I reach the pool?
Voanna glanced at her.
Didn't the scroll say they were to help along the way?
It had said something like that. Voanna was a little too smart for her own good, but Eveline needed her, so she would give the impudent woman some leeway with her opinions.
How old is your brother?
Eveline asked.
21,
Voanna said.
And he has Lenania?
Yes. I convinced my neighbor to stay with him. It will take most of my wages to pay her and the doctor. Eveline looked away.
I will compensate them, she said.
That's unnecessary, yet I will do it, Eveline said.
Thank you. Hours later, they reached Porcel. Knots of crowded, muddy streets encircled rows of moldering tenements. Voanna found an inn and paid with her coins. The room was little more than a closet with 2 beds. A maid delivered bowls of watery stew. They ate, and Voanna fell asleep as soon as she lay down. Eveline could hear people and music right through the walls. The itchy bedding made her skin crawl. She sighed. My, how far the mighty Empress had fallen. Somehow, time passed. She next opened her eyes to the brightness of three suns. Yet when she tried to move, her limbs were stiff. She cried out, "Guard!" "My name is Vawana." She appeared at Eveline's bedside. "If you're so adamant that no one know who you are, you'd best start calling me by name." "Fine. Just, I cannot move. Peek down the back of my gown and tell me what you see." Vawana pulled back the covers and lifted the neckline away. Her eyebrows rose. "More of you is gold today," she said. Her words incited panic. "How much more?" "Your entire back, the backs of your legs, and the backs of your arms, too." Vawana's words turned Eveline's insides to liquid. She tried to breathe, but there didn't seem to be enough air in this hovel of a room. "Not even the pearls can save me if I die in this bed." Vawana reached for her hand. "May I?" Eveline nodded, her body tense. Vawana pulled her to a sitting position, which felt strange, as if she had a bad sunburn. Not terribly painful. "You'll have to help me dress," Eveline said. Vawana reached for Eveline's gown. "Ready when you are." So many people, everywhere, rail thin and haggard. Clusters lined the streets, their belongings strewn like debris beside them. "I didn't expect so many homeless in a village like Porcel," Eveline said. "Few families can afford to own a home," Vawana said, "especially with the high taxes." A twinge of nausea made Eveline reconsider her recent tax initiative. Was she to blame for the poverty here? They approached a family seated on the roadside with a basket of fresh bread and a sign that said, "Mending, bread, and song. 1 kopar each." Before Vawana could advise against it, Eveline dismounted and approached the family. "I have a tear in my hem," she said. "Sit, sit," said the mother. "Trella, sing. Coley, bread." Eveline dropped in front of the woman, who took up sewing her hem. The boy set a round of bread in Eveline's hands, and the girl began to sing. "This song of the suns for you I sing. 4 suns for Karaz. Great light they bring, 1 eastern sun and 2 in the west. The 4th one shines bright. Our great empress." Whether it was the subject matter, the child's lovely voice, or both, Eveline didn't know. But she wept. When the sewing and singing ended, Vawana stepped forward to pay the family, but Eveline held up her hand. "I will pay them." She pulled out the pouch, revealing gold skin on the back of her hand. The children gasped, eyes wide as Eveline placed a pearl on their mother's outstretched palm. The mother's eyes filled with moisture. "Bless you," she whispered. As Vawana helped Eveline mount her horse, Eveline smiled, pondering how she was changing. The gold was hardening her on the outside, but on the inside, she was growing soft. A wagon stopped behind them. A man climbed out and approached the family.
"Madam," he said, "you are the one who makes such delicious bread?"
"Yes, sir," the mother said. "Would you like some?"
"Indeed," the man said. "And more than that, I run a bakery in town and my cook has quit. Might you like a job?"
The woman's face lit up.
"Oh, yes, sir."
"The previous baker lived in an apartment over the store. You are welcome to it."
"We would like it very much. Thank you. Children, get the basket. We are going home."
The family joined the man in the wagon, which he steered away.
"Did you see?"
Vawana stared after them, her voice thoughtful.
"As soon as you gave them the pearl, they were blessed with good fortune.
just like Tigdor, with the return of his family and the stolen horses.
You think it's because of the pearls?
Eveline asked. Vawana shrugged. Don't you? Could Vawana be right? Had the stable owner and the family both received blessings because of the pearls? If so, why them and not her?
She still had 3 pearls, yet she turned more gold with each passing hour.
They reached the town of Lovett in early evening and used nearly all of Vawana's remaining money to rent a room at an inn. When Eveline mentioned that they were headed to Ramont, the young man working the counter brightened.
My love lives in Ramont, the server said. I work here to save money, so we can marry.
What is your name? Eveline demanded.
Jackor, ma'am.
The young man hadn't seemed to notice Eveline's haughtiness, but she softened her tone.
Are there no jobs in Ramont? None that I am qualified for.
Surely it won't take long to save for a wedding, Vawana said. Jackor sighed.
5 years, maybe?
5? Eveline couldn't believe it. Must you have such an expensive ceremony?
Oh, the money is not for a ceremony, Jackor said. It's to build us a house. I've already been working here 1 year, so only 4 more to go.
Ridiculous. Eveline couldn't imagine having to earn enough money to marry. She reached for her pouch. Vawana grabbed her hand.
Are you sure?
She asked.
Yes.
Giving the pearl to the family outside Porcel had been incredibly rewarding. Eveline wanted to do something for this young man and his betrothed. Besides, it would be a grand experiment. If Jackor received instant blessings, she would know the pearls were the cause.
Saving for your future is admirable, Eveline said. I would like to contribute.
She handed him a pearl. Jackor's eyes widened as he caught sight of the gold on her wrist, but his gaze quickly shifted to the tiny gem.
For me? Why?
I just want to help, Eveline said.
Thank you for your generosity.
Jackor clasped the pearl in both hands and bowed low. You're welcome. Eveline beamed at Vawana. Shall we explore the town?
It's not safe out now, Jackor said. Reports say raiders are headed this way.
Kupio raiders? Eveline asked.
Yes, they seek the Empress,
Jackor said, glancing at Eveline's wrist.
Word is she is headed to Ramont.
How interesting, Vawana said. I've always wanted to see the Empress. She grabbed Eveline's arm and tugged her toward the stairs. We'll stay in our room and have an early dinner, just to be safe. Thank you for the warning.
I'll bring your meal right away.
Jackor lifted his joined hands, the pearl still inside.
And thank you again.
Vawana woke Eveline early. I thought it best if we leave before dawn, she said.
Anything to avoid the Kupio,
Eveline said, shuddering. She had turned gold on her front now, but once Vawana helped her stand, she was still able to walk. On their way out, they saw Jackor by the stables.
Friends, he called. A man offered me a job in Ramont. The innkeeper there is doing a poor job, so I will replace him. Plus, the inn has a house next door for the innkeeper.
Vawana eyed Eveline. That's a stroke of luck, she said.
Indeed.
Jackor's grin shone as brightly as the risen sun's.
I will travel to Ramont today to tell Harpa. Who knows? We could be married tonight.
Won't Harpa need some time to plan a wedding? Eveline asked. Jackor laughed.
We need nothing fancy, only each other.
What an odd notion. Eveline couldn't imagine being content with so little. Yet she longed for a simple joy, like Jacker's. Congratulations, Voana said. They bade Jacker farewell and set off for Ramont. You must not give away any more pearls, Voana said. Eveline frowned. Why not? They're clearly magic. You might need them when you get to the pool. But they do nothing for me, Eveline said. Why not use them to help others? I simply worry that we will reach the wishing pool and have no pearl to save you. They arrived in Ramont after dark. The wishing pool was another 10 miles south of the city, so they decided to eat, then find a place to rest until morning. As it turned out, there was only one inn. This must be where Jacker will soon be employed, Voana said. The inn with the incompetent innkeeper. We should still try it, Eveline said. I am starving. A man named Svikari met them at the door.
Welcome, he said, smiling. You look weary. Have you traveled far?
From Porcel, Voana said.
I'll get you something to eat while I put up your horses. Will it be one room or two?
I am afraid we cannot afford to stay, Voana said. We would like to buy some dinner, though.
I see.
Svikari took 3 copers from Voana and dished up 2 bowls of soup.
I cannot send 2 ladies out into the night, he said. If you pay to stable the horses, you're welcome to sleep in the cellar for free.
That's very generous. Voana glanced at Eveline. What do you say?
Better than sleeping outside, she said.
Excellent, Svikari said. Eat. I will take care of your horses, then make up 2 pallets in the cellar.
He took the last of Voana's money and left. He seems kind, Eveline said. Voana chuckled. You've changed a lot on this journey. I have, haven't I? Eveline said. With death looming over me, it matters not whether my shoes match my gown or if my toast is burned. The pearls showed me how to bless others.
Once you're cured, Voana said, you'll get to do a lot more of that.
I hope you are right, Eveline said. Svikari led them to the cellar. It was dark, lit only by Svikari's candle and dim moonlight coming through a casement window near the ceiling. Eveline did not see any beds.
Make yourself comfortable,
Svikari said as he climbed back to the top of the stairs.
I've been hoping you might stop by, Empress.
Eveline's heart raced at his use of her title and snide tone. What do you mean?
I am Kupio by birth, he said, loyal to my homeland. I sent my son to alert our army in Lovett. They will be here by morning.
Eveline gasped. Guard! Voana drew her sword and charged, but Svikari slammed the door behind him. Voana tugged at the handle with her free hand. He's locked us in.
I'm sorry, she wailed. We never should have come.
Voana put her arm around Eveline. Don't blame yourself. Sniffling, Eveline leaned into the embrace from her friend. Hello? A small voice said. Eveline and Voana started. A thin boy stepped out from the dark corner. A chain on his ankle jerked him to a stop.
Gracious!
Voana hurried to his side. What happened to you?
Svikari bought me, the boy said. I do the laundry and catch rats and...
What's your name, child? Eveline asked, wiping her eyes.
Osk.
Voana pushed her sword's tip through the chain link attached to the shackle until she made a gap big enough to unhook the link. Osk stepped away from the wall.
Thank you,
he said, rubbing his ankle. Now that he was out in the open,
Eveline could see bruising on his face. Zvikari must beat him. Her jaw tightened. How could anyone beat a child? Give him one, Vawana said. What? Eveline asked. Vawana couldn't be talking about the pearls, could she? You have two left, so give him one. Eveline wrung her hands. But you'll still have one for yourself, just in case, Vawana said. What could she do? Ever since Eveline had realized the pearls were magic, she had planned to save the last two. One for herself, in case she needed it at the pool, and the other for Vawana, to give to her brother. Why do you hesitate? Vawana asked. Give it to him. Eveline withdrew one of the last two pearls. This is a special gift, she said to Osk. She glanced at Vawana, who stood on a crate by the window, stabbing her sword at the frame. I want you to have it. Eveline set it in the boy's grubby palm. Is it food? He asked. No, it's for luck. Put it in your pocket. It will help you. Just as Osk safely tucked away the pearl, a crash pulled Eveline's attention to Vawana at the window, which now lay on the floor. We can't fit out that opening, Osk, but you can. Vawana knelt next to Osk. I'm going to lift you up, and I want you to run fast and far. Be careful, Eveline said to the boy. What can go wrong? Vawana said. He's got a pearl. Osk patted his pocket. Good luck, Pearl, right here. Eveline laughed. That's right. It was very nice to meet you, Osk. Osk grinned. I'll send help for you. Only once you are safe, Eveline said. The boy nodded, and Vawana hoisted him up to the tiny opening. Osk wriggled out. Crouching at the window, he reached in a waving hand. Bye. Then he was gone. Eveline sat on the floor, exhausted. I can't believe it's going to end like this. It's not over yet, Vawana said, sitting beside her. Give Osk a chance to find his luck. What if escape had been Osk's luck? What if he never came back? Hours passed. Eveline lay on the hard dirt floor. Her limbs were heavy, completely coated in gold now. And the Kupio were coming. All was lost. She fingered the pearl in her pocket, marveling at its smooth surface. So powerful. Yet it couldn't save her from this curse. But maybe it could help someone else. She sat up straight, shoulders back. Peace washed over her as she pulled the pearl out and extended it toward her guard. Vawana, I want you to take the last pearl. Vawana didn't even look at her. No. Listen before you refuse. Take it for your brother. Silence stretched out long and heavy. Then, I appreciate that, but I can't. If you do, you'll be blessed. Someone will come to free you. Then you can free me. It's a good idea, ma'am. But I could never live with myself if I took the last pearl and you needed one. No amount of blessings could erase that sorrow. You are my empress, but you are also my friend. I will wait here with you. Eveline blinked hard and pocketed the pearl once more. You are a good friend, she said. As are you, ma'am. Call me Eveline. Creaking hinges woke Eveline, who could barely move. Friends, a familiar voice said. It's Jacker. Jacker. Vawana leapt to her feet. We're here. Zvikari locked us in and alerted the Kupio to come for the Empress. I know, Jacker said. That's why we must hurry. Zvikari has fled, but he will come back with the Kupio. Brows creased. The pair looked down on Eveline.
Is it bad? She asked.
Your face and clothing are gold, Jacker said. All but your eyes.
The words didn't shock this time. Eveline knew the curse had overtaken her. She would die soon. But at least she'd made a difference in a few lives.
Help me lift her, Voana said.
Voana and Jacker picked up Eveline and carried her up the stairs and outside the inn.
Last night I married my betrothed,
Jacker said as they loaded Eveline into the back of a wagon.
It never would have happened without your generosity. Make haste and faith go with you.
Thank you, Jacker,
Eveline mumbled from the back of the wagon. Voana drove the wagon away. Eveline watched the clouds overhead. By the time they reached the wishing pool, the third sun had risen. Voana carried the Empress to the pool and helped her sit on the ledge. Her feet, golden and heavy, sank into clear water that sparkled like diamonds under the brightness of three suns.
It's too deep, Voana said. I hoped to carry you in, but we'll drown.
I'll drown, Eveline said, her voice strange with her lips now stiff. Take the pearl.
She tugged at the pouch around her neck.
No,
Voana said. It matters not what happens to me. Eveline gritted out the words.
If it helps you, it's worth it.
Voana shook her head, her eyes filling with tears.
I can't.
Eveline shifted her gaze toward the water.
The scroll said I must bathe in the waters. Take the pearl home to your brother.
She dropped the pouch on the ledge. Voana picked it up. Before she could argue, Eveline tipped herself into the pool.
No!
The water muffled the sound of Voana's protest and felt cool against Eveline's skin as she sank slowly to the bottom of the pool.
I wish for the Empress's healing, Voana yelled.
Moments later, a pearl drifted past Eveline's face, yet she remained solid. Voana had wasted the wish set aside for her brother. Voana dove in and swam down to Eveline. She tugged on her arm, but Eveline didn't budge. There would be no lifting her. Voana swam to the surface and climbed out.
I must go for help, she yelled back, before the Kupio arrive.
She left, and Eveline saw nothing but water and the sky above. She couldn't breathe, which didn't seem to matter. She was fully gold now, a statue at the bottom of the pool. Her wish for healing had not been granted, nor had Voana's wish. Eveline could see the pearl now, shimmering at her feet. Useless. Above, shadows swarmed the poolside, green and white uniforms. The Kupio. Eveline's heart flared, which seemed odd. Shouldn't her heart be solid now, too? A Kupio man dove into the water and tried to lift Eveline. When he failed, four others joined him, but not even five of their strongest warriors could budge the golden statue. The Kupio swam to the surface and discussed Eveline's fate. Though their voices were stifled, Eveline caught the words wagon and winch. They were determined to have their prize, one way or another. It wouldn't be long now before Eveline was broken to pieces and melted down by her greatest enemy. The Kupio departed, and Eveline waited, her hopes dashed. The journey she had made with Voana had been a grand adventure, but a failed one. If only she had been a better empress. Her people deserved better. At least she had gotten to know some of them. Osk, Jacker, the family in Porcel. She wished she could have done more than hand out a few tiny pearls. A shadow moved above, drawing her attention back to the surface. It was not the Kupio this time, however, but Jacker.
"Thank you, Empress,"
he said, dropping something small into the water. It sank fast, hitting the bottom of the pool, and drifted a few inches before coming to a stop. It was a pearl. By the time Eveline again heard Voana's voice, a crowd had gathered around the pool's ledge. She could not believe what was happening above the surface. Her people had come, not to steal her, but to thank her and pay tribute. At her feet were two more pearls to add to those Jacker and Voana had thrown in. Osk had arrived and introduced his parents, and the family from Porcel had come to thank her as well. Blessings returned in thanksgiving. She had never been so touched.
"I didn't know it was you," a man said, his voice stifled by the water. "I never would have been so rude."
It was Tigder, the stableman from the capital. Eveline wanted to comfort him. She had been rude first, demanding free horses. If only she could apologize. Tigder dropped his pearl into the water. Eveline watched it sink toward her, her own hopes sinking with it. She had come so far, changed so much. It had not been enough. At least she now understood why she deserved this fate. She was grateful, though, to have had a chance to make even a small difference in the world. Yet when the pearl hit the bottom, Eveline suddenly felt cold and wet. A strand of her hair drifted before her face. Her heartbeat throbbed in her ears. Could it be? Could it? She suddenly felt light as her skirt floated around her. She bent her knees and pushed, swimming to the surface where Voana and her people were waiting.
I hope you enjoyed listening to The Golden Curse by Jill Williamson, narrated by Corinne Norton. If you want to read more by Jill, go to jillwilliamson.com to find more of her books. I'll have a link in the show notes that takes you directly to her Inner Sanctum, where you can sign up for a free fantasy short story as well as a writing guide. I also highly recommend signing up for the podcast newsletter, and I'll have a link for that in the show notes as well. You'll get one email a week letting you know the new episode is up. Plus, I have links to deals from authors we've previously featured and any audiobook or short story collections I think you might want to check out. As always, thank you all for listening and happy reading.